Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Our text will be only verses 15 and 16 as we come now to that part of the fourth chapter where Paul begins to describe for us in some detail the relationships that exist within the family of God. We've just sung, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." And in this description of the relationships that exist within the body of Christ and that image of the body itself, Paul is going to show how interrelated we are, how dependent we are upon Christ, and how through these gifts that Christ has given us, we grow in faith and hope and love. Ephesians 4, this is God's word. We begin reading at verse 15. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is God's holy, infallible, and everlasting word. Beloved in the Lord, our subject from this passage of Ephesians 4 is church growth. And we will see that demonstrated in two ways, that we grow because we are connected to Christ, and we also grow because we are connected to one another. And it is through this stupendous image that the Apostle Paul has drawn upon that he describes that unity, that growth, when he takes for that image of the body an illustration of how we then are to live and to operate in the church. And the first thing that we see as he begins these latter portions of the first half of chapter 4 is that the body is connected to Jesus Christ. Note especially in verse 15 that we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. Paul makes note that we belong to Jesus Christ and that we are connected to Jesus Christ. And when he goes on from there to begin to speak about growth, it's only because we are first of all connected to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of our growth, growth as a church, growth as a believer. Growth does not come from a committee decision and a program that individual churches and organizations put forth, although sometimes those programs can be helpful, but if they are dependent solely upon the program, they will fail. Because growth comes from being connected to Jesus Christ. In fact, if we're not connected to Jesus Christ, no matter how much effort we put forth to grow, there will be no true spiritual growth, because all power and life are derived from Jesus. We're connected to him. And like the blood supply that brings nourishment and power and life for your body, because your blood supply is necessary for your body for power and life, Jesus brings that power and life through his indwelling spirit for the people of God and for the church of Jesus Christ. All of the life and the health of its members are derived from the head. In fact, our place in the body of Jesus Christ is by divine appointment. God has divinely appointed us, called us. Paul speaks of that in the first chapter. He says we are saints, called of God by his sovereign appointment, divinely placed and put in the body, the church of Jesus Christ. So it's not an accident that we are in Christ, it's God's purpose. It is not an accident that we are a part of the local church, the local congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by divine appointment. And that divine appointment is necessary for the body of Jesus Christ, for the church, to grow, because he is the one who gives it power and life. And it's the business, therefore, of the members of his body to carry out those commands from the head of the church. Imagine for a moment within our own bodies if our head would send a message to, you know, our legs to walk, but the message didn't get there. We'd fall over. And you know, you're working at your stove in the kitchen, and your head, which is the control center, sends a message to your hand, don't touch the hot stove. Be careful when you're working around it. But if that message doesn't get to the hand, and you're, for some reason, there's a disconnect between the message center, the brain, the head, and the rest of the body, you see the problem in a nutshell. Wouldn't it be so great if we could see it as clearly as that with Christ, the head of the church? He is the head. We are the members. He is the one sending us direction, messages through his word, by his indwelling spirit. We are the body, those connected to the head, those who are to carry out his wishes. So our first task is to examine ourselves to make sure that we are connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will plead for his spirit to come upon us in a mighty reviving power to enable us to carry out his commands and to do his will. This is the way the church has operated throughout the centuries. This is how revival comes to the church, through being connected with the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin with prayer to discover the will of God in the revealed word of God, so that we will then put ourselves by faith and obedience at the disposal of God and do his holy will. The history of the church will show that in the story of great revivals that have taken place, where the church is revived, that it is because the people have put forth an effort to pray and to submit and to obey the word of God. Revival comes when the people of God are firmly connected and bound to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how church growth comes. Growth depends upon the union of all of the parts of the body of the head with the head. That is, all who are rightly related to Jesus Christ and saved need to be not only connected to him, but then effectively bonded together, placed together, living together, working together in the body which he has ordained. He has ordained the church. He has ordained that in the church we would be his body working together. And as the human body, in the human body, not one member, whether hand or foot, can live and grow unless it's united to the rest of the body. So the union with the mystical body of Jesus Christ, the church, is the indispensable connection for growth in every individual believer. There's an old story. It's told many times. I'm sure you've heard the illustration before. Dwight L. Moody was concerned that there was a member of his church that was not attending. And he went, in those days, you went to the home, and in that home there was a nice fireplace, and there was a fire in the fireplace. And he broached the subject of the member's lack of attendance by pointing out that you could take a coal in that fire and place it apart from the other coals of the fire, and you know what happened to that coal. It slowly faded and grew cold. And what an illustration that is, because if you're not in the fireplace, connected with the people of the church, occasionally a part of the fellowship of God's people. You're like that coal over on the side, pretty cold out there, because the coal only derives its warmth and heat from being connected to all of those within the fireplace. It's the same way in the church. In fact, it's the same way in the body. No parts of the body can be asleep. You've had, you know, we say, I don't know, whoever came up with this idea that we have said, you know what I mean when I say if your foot has gone asleep, right? Well, it hasn't gone asleep, but it sure doesn't function right. And if you get up real quick and you start to walk and your foot being asleep, or, you know, kind of paralyzed, as it were, you're not going to do so well with your balance. I think the church is that way. Its members who are asleep are not doing well and are causing harm to the body of Christ. You see, every member vitally connected to the church, every member connected to the body affects the other members of that body like the coal in the fireplace. And that's why Paul says in this passage in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now, Paul didn't have to say that. Everybody knows that. Bodies are all put together. You have joints, and the things are connected in such a way as that's how you operate. Your hand is connected to the arm. The arm is connected to the shoulder. And that gives you the ability to do the things that you need to do to lift. Paul didn't have to say that, but why did he say it? He said it to emphasize the fact that that's the way it should be in the church. Every member sitting here is joined to every other member sitting here today. And we are effectively unable to carry out the will of God and do the work of God if one of our members is not joined together and in his place or her place in the body, because it's together that we equip one another to grow and to do the will of God. And the whole body grows. Growth is not one person just growing greatly and another person over here, well, I'm not so great, I'm the one with the few talents over here. No, we grow together. Growth in a body is symmetrical. That means all the parts are growing. It has one common goal. When a body grows from youth to adulthood, the common goal is the growth of the whole body. It's abnormal for only some parts to grow and other parts not to grow. It's the same way in the church. It's abnormal for there to be members of the body of Jesus Christ that are not connected to the head and to the church and to one another, because it's through that connection, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, that the whole church grows connected to Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for the glory of God. You see, we have to be vitally connected to Christ. And if we're connected to Christ, before we move on to the next point, we need to be sure that we understand that being connected to Christ means we love Jesus. That's an absolute. And we love his church. And there are those who would say, well, I love Jesus, but I'm not so sure about the church, you know. There are a few people in the church that are hard to love. Well, that's why God put them there, so that you'd love them and they would love you back. Because love is not whether you like the person or not. Love is doing the will of God in obedience to his word. Connected to Christ, we're going to do that which glorifies him, and we're going to see his church grow. That's what Paul is going to arrive at the very end of verse 16. All of this comes together so that it may build itself up, that it may grow. That's the goal that is set before us. And the first thing that we have to be is connected to Christ. The second point is obvious from the illustration, and we've touched on it already. We are dependent. We are connected to one another. Every member is connected to one another in the body of Jesus Christ. In the human body, we experience normal growth when we are properly supported, properly nourished. Bones and joints are held together. Then the body will grow. And the body of Christ grows only when its individual joints and members are properly supported and connected with one another. That means we have a deep obligation to one another to do our part, to support and to maintain the body of Jesus Christ, because the whole body is joined and held together by its members. God has appointed it this way. God has divinely ordained that the church would be held together by the church, the people of God. And so we are heirs together, members together, sharers together, as Paul has outlined for us in the third chapter, with those who have gone before us, because the whole body, the whole church, is that great body by which God is glorifying himself, gathering a people in Christ for the glory of his name. And you have been placed in the body for a reason, because you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, connected to him, have potential. You have a potential for growth. Just as every body part, every ligament and joint in the human body gives growth potential for the adjacent members of the body, so you have a potential, being vitally connected to other members of the body, to grow in Christ. You see that carried out in ministries that we have for one another. Think of those who have been sick, and other members of the body demonstrate their concern, their love in some way by ministering to them. Maybe it's a card, maybe it's a call, maybe it's some other way, but there's a visible demonstration of that potential that each of us has for growth and for blessing. And you have a place in the body of Jesus Christ because you are connected just where God wants you to be. God has given you the unique set of blessings, the unique set of those things which he's committed to your hand, those blessings and gifts that are yours, so that you may implement them and use them for his kingdom. There is no place in the church of Jesus Christ for someone to sit back and say, well, there's really nothing I can do for the church. That's like saying, the hand saying, there's really nothing I can do for you, the arm, right? There's really nothing I can do for you, the feet. Well, sure, glad it's not the feet telling me there's nothing I can do for you, because I'd sure like to be able to walk out and go home and on my own two feet. My feet don't tell me, I don't want any part of you. I've had enough of you walking on top of me. The feet don't do that. But why do people in the church do that and say, I don't want to be a part. I don't feel as though I contribute. You do. And I'm not saying that because I know what your contribution, your blessing, your gift, your spiritual gift might be. But I know that on the basis of the fact that you're in the church. You're a part of the body. You've been placed there with that divine potential and placed there by divine order so that you might be connected to others and that you might fulfill the purpose for which God has placed you there, so you can grow and build and work together. That's why he says every joint, every part of the body joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped. When each part is working properly, what happens? It makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, Christ makes us one and obligates us to work together so that we can use our different gifts to build his church. In this task, every gift is needed, great or small. Every gift is important. There is none that can say, my gift, my spiritual calling is not important. We must never rule ourselves out of the process of building the church of Jesus Christ, the church that is his transforming power for this earth and for the eternity of a multitude of people that he is drawing to himself. There are those whose gift may seem ever so small to them, but they've written to a missionary, and it's been a blessing to them. There have been the widow's mite that has been given, of which Christ himself said she gave more than anyone else. And so each of us, no matter how much God has entrusted to us, has something which we can give of ourselves, of the blessings we enjoy, and of the grace of God to build the church of Jesus Christ. And we are to do that connected to one another and functioning together in the bond of love. And that's not just glibly placed in this passage. It's the necessary glue that holds everything together, or the lubricant that makes the machinery go. I like to say love is the WD-40 that gets everything all loosened up in the church of Jesus Christ. Because love, biblical love, is that which reminds us that we are there for the benefit of someone else. We don't live for ourselves. And when we begin to recognize that and demonstrate that in visible, real ways, we then see the demonstration of love in a way that God has meant it to be. Where love reigns, the church is edified and people grow. And so we must maintain a loving contact with one another in the church of Jesus Christ. What would it be if, like parts of the body, we hated each other? That wouldn't be good. The toe would say to the foot, I hate you. I don't like the way you've been kicking me around. The hand, the ear, the eye, can they say they don't like being the ear, the hand, the eye? No. Because the ear, the hand, and the eye, and your body parts are all uniquely placed just where they need to be. And we are uniquely placed in the body of Jesus Christ where we need to be, so that in the love of Christ we can minister to one another. Jesus himself brought a new dimension to love itself. He was the Son of God from all eternity. Jesus did not have to come into this fallen, sinful world. He did not have to come and assume a human form. He chose to do this. The ruler of the universe, whom angels worship, the Son of God, who by his very word spoke and it came into being, chose to take upon himself our humanity, to suffer in that humanity, and to die. And not only to suffer and to die, but to suffer and to die for those who were ungodly, and to redeem them and save them and bring them into glory and into the fellowship of God our Father. You see, that love that Christ demonstrated by coming into the world gives us the example of the pattern of love that God wants us to demonstrate in our love for one another. The Savior was willing to wash the disciples' feet. There were legions of angels that would have done that at his bidding. But he did it for his disciples, demonstrating the depth of love that he bore for these dirty feet, fallen and sinful humans. The selfless humility, the selfless giving that exemplified the Savior is the example, it's the model that our Savior wants us to show and to demonstrate it. The King of Kings bowed low to wash his disciples' feet. Is there a task that's beneath you? Is there a task that's too low that if you look at it, you'll say, I can't do that. That's beneath me. No, there are none, for the Son of God calls you to love. And he calls you to love in these words, as I have loved you. And when we begin to see the kind of love demonstrated that Jesus exemplified, lived out among God's people, this is what we will see. Paul says, we will make the body grow so that it will build itself up in love. Connected to Jesus, connected to one another, building the body of Christ in love. The glorious calling and the task of Jesus' people, his very own, gathered in this place and in every place throughout the world today. What a glorious privilege this is. May God enable us to do it for his glory. Amen.